إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد First of all, inshallah, I'll read a number of ahadith that constitute sort of a background for the subsequent discussion of how to wash a Muslim, a dead Muslim. So inshallah we'll start with the ahadith and then we go to the practical discussion after that. Okay. Atiyah radiallahu anha reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in while they, that is the women, some of the women of the Sahaba, were washing his daughter Zainab radiallahu anha. So as we know, all of the daughters and grandchildren, children and grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died in his life, except during his life, except for Fatima radiallahu anha, who died 6 months after his death sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Atiyah reported that he came in while they were ready to wash his daughter Zainab. So he gave them some instructions. He said, اغسلنها ثلاثا أو خمسا أو سبعة أو أكثر من ذلك إن رأيتن ذلك بماء وسدر. اغسلنها ثلاثا أو خمسا أو سبعا أو أكثر من ذلك إن رأيتن ذلك بماء وسدر. Which means, wash her three times, seven or more times if you find it necessary, using water and lotus. Now, is lotus a well-known substance in English, in America? Huh? Sidr, who was sidr? Lotus. No, that's the meaning of sidr in English. It's called lotus. But is it something common? You can easily find it in the drug stores or some places? No. No, it's different from camphor. Lotus is a a sidr. So probably they use the leaves for as a form of cleansing, like soap we use in this time. So it's best to use sidr if it's available. If not, then soap or some other cleansing material. So wash her 3, 5, 7 or more times if you find it necessary, using water and lotus. Yeah. No, it's not the flower lotus. It is a tree called lotus. It's called in Arabic sidr. Sin dal ra. And he, as I said, the intention is to clean the body, okay, from dirt and so on. He further instructed them, ابدأنا بميامنها ومواضع الوضوء منها. Start with the right side of her right side, and the places of wudu, the limbs that she makes wudu with, that is the hand, then the foot, from the right side, then the left side, and the head, of course, first. She asked him odd number, because he said 3, 5, or 7. She said, do you mean it has to be odd number? He replied, نعم. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ كَافُورًا أَوْ شَيْئًا مِّن كَافُورٍ فَإِذَا فَرَغْتُنَّ فَآذِنَّنِي. He said, yes, which means it has to be an odd number of times that you wash her. And include on the last time some camphor. When you finish, inform me. Camphor is a material or a substance that is meant to give some nice smell for the dead body. They washed her as he instructed, untied her hair, untied any the braids that she had, washed it, divided it into three plates, three bunches. So the hair is one bunch after they untied it and washed it. So they divided it into three bunches. The two sides, the one side, the right side, one bunch, the left side, one bunch, and the middle, a third bunch. The two sides and the center. And arranged it behind her head. So after they washed her, they arranged her hair behind her head. When they finished, they informed him. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave them his izar and said, Ash'arnaha iyyah. Ash'arnaha iyyah, which means let it be next to her body, which means wrap her with it. This hadith is with this different pieces because it's collected from different books of hadith, is in Bukhari, Muslim, and other books of hadith. How was Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam washed? Al-Sha'bi reported, he's one of the tabi'in, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was washed by Ali al-Fadl bin al-Abbas and Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhum. Three of the Sahaba washed him. Ali was the main one who washed him, and then he was helped by al-Fadl bin Abbas and Usama bin Zayd. Ali radiallahu anhu reported, when I washed Allah's Messenger, I expected to observe on him what is normally observed in dead people. That is, he expected to observe that his color changed, his smell changed, or something like that. But saw nothing of that. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was good in look and smell, alive and dead. كان طيبا حيا وميتا صلى الله عليه وسلم. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that when the Sahaba wanted to wash the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, by Allah, we do not know whether to undress Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like we do for our deceased, or wash him in his clothes. When they differed, they were not sure, they argued about it. Allah made them fall asleep until each one's chin hit his chest. So they were sitting, it seems, and their heads fell down. A person that they did not know then addressed them from a corner in the house, saying, wash the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his clothes. So they washed him with his long shirt on. Qamis. Qamis means the shirt like this one. It's called, they used to call it qamis, a long one. Pouring the water over the shirt and rubbing his body through the shirt. Aisha radiallahu anha commented on this. If it were possible to redo this, لو أني استقبلت من أمري ما استدبرت, none should have washed him but his wives. No one should have washed him but his wives. Which means if she would have had a second chance, his wives would be the ones to wash him. Boys, stop playing here. Okay. Now another hadith. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that once Allah's Messenger returned from a funeral in Al-Baqiya to find her with a headache. She had a headache and she was complaining, saying, wa ra'sa, which means, oh my head. Her head was hurting. He said, bal ana wa ra'sa. Rather, it is my head that is hurting. Then he said, مَا ضَرَّكِ لَوْ مِتِّ قَبْلِي فَغَسَّلْتُكِ وَكَفَّنْتُكِ ثُمَّ صَلَّيْتُ عَلَيْكِ وَدَفَنْتُكِ, which means, what would harm you if you die before me and I wash you, shroud you, and then pray janazah for you and bury you? This is recorded by Ahmad and others, and it is authentic. These ahadith, as I said, we are saying them because we'll use them as evidence when we start talking about the procedure for washing the dead. There is a word for washing the dead. Abu Rafi' radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من غسل مسلما فكتم عليه غفر له الله 40 مرة أو 40 كبيرة ومن حفر حفرة له فأجنه أجري عليه كأجر مسكن أسكنه إياه إلى يوم القيامة إن شاء الله ومن كفنه كساه الله يوم القيامة من سندس وإستبرق الجنة من غسل مسلما فكتم عليه غفر الله له 40 مرة أو 40 كبيرة which means he who washes a Muslim and hides what he sees of him, that is bad smell, bad appearance, etc. Whatever he sees, he doesn't tell anybody. Allah grants him forgiveness 40 times or for 40 major sins. وَمَنْ حَفَرَ حُفْرَةً لَهُ فَأَجَنَّهُ أُجْرِيَ عَلَيْهِ كَأَجْرِ مَسْكَنٍ أَسْكَنَهُ إِيَّاهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ And he who digs for him a grave and buries him would be granted a reward similar to providing for him a dwelling until the day of resurrection. وَمَنْ كَفَّنَهُ كَسَاهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ سُنْدُسِ وَإِسْتَبْرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ And he who shrouds him, Allah will clothe him on the day of resurrection from the silk garments of Jannah. So, you see that there is a great reward for doing all of these things. For washing a Muslim, for shrouding him, and for burying him. But this is with a condition. With a condition, which is that this, he should hide what he sees from him. Because, you know, there are things that are seen, things, bad smell, bad appearance, different things that one sees when he washes a dead body. So he should not tell anybody, he should not go and say, SubhanAllah, today I washed a dead body and he looked scary. He looked like he is being punished. He looked like he smelled ugly, or etc., etc. He shouldn't say any of this. He should hide this, all of this. The reward for digging the grave. وَمَنْ حَفَرَ حُفْرَةً لَهُ فَأَجَنَّهُ أُجْرِي عَلَيْهِ كَأَجْرِ مَسْكَنٍ أَسْكَنَهُ إِيَّهِ If he digs a grave for him and buries him in it, then it is as if he gave him a dwelling, a house, built for him a house to live in it until the day of resurrection. So it is an ongoing charity, صَدَقَةً until the day of resurrection. So in doing that, one should only seek Allah's pleasure. So you see that all these actions are acts of worship. Because they have rewards. And any act that we do seeking a reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla is an act of worship. So when we do any act of worship, we should do it with the proper intention, with sincerity, seeking Allah's pleasure. Okay? And it should not be for this purpose of being paid. Like, if you go and wash this dead person, I will give you $50, please. If I do it for that reason, then it is not, I'm not doing, it's like somebody telling me, go pray Zuhr prayer and I'll give you $50. So if I do it for the sake of the money, then I lost all the reward that Allah promised for the acts of worship. Because Allah does not accept of the deeds, except that which is pure for him, sincere for him, and with which one seeks Allah's face, Allah's acceptance. So in doing that, one should only seek Allah's pleasure, and should not seek thanks, pay, or any of the worldly rewards. It's well established in Islam that Allah only accepts the acts of worship that are sincerely done for his sake. Is it required to take a bath after washing a body? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من غسل ميتا فليغتسل ومن حمله فليتوضا. Which means, let whoever washes a dead person take a bath, and let whoever carries him perform wudu. Whoever carries him perform wudu. So this is a command from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, and every command, the rule is that if there is a command, that means it is an obligation, it is wajib. Unless there is something, an additional evidence associated with it, which brings it down from the level of wujub, of obligation, to a lesser level, like istihbab, for example. And there is something in this regard. The command in this hadith would normally imply compulsion, had it not been for the two following narrations. The first is by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa alaykum fi ghasli mayyitikum ghuslun idha ghasaltumuh. Fa inna mayyitakum laysa binajis, fa hasbukum an taghsilu aydiyakum. Laysa alaykum fi ghasli mayyitikum ghuslun idha ghasaltumuh. Fa inna mayyitakum laysa binajis, fa hasbukum an taghsilu aydiyakum." Which means you are not required to take a bath after washing your deceased, because he is not najis. He is not najis, he is not filthy. It is sufficient that you wash your hands. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported, after washing a deceased, which means at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some of us would take a bath and some would not. Means it was left option. They understood that they have the option or the choice to take a bath or not. But you know, we understand from these ahadith, and the first one especially, that there is a strong recommendation to take a bath. And what is the reason for that? Because, you know, of infection, possibilities of infection, hygiene, or cleanliness, so that nothing can be transmitted from the dead body. Especially, you know, many of the dead people die from diseases, or if the body is left without being prepared for burial very quickly, then there are some other things that may be transmitted to the living people. Okay, how about a martyr or a shaheed? Is he required? Is it required to wash him? And we know that we cannot say for sure about anybody that who dies for the cause of Allah that he is a shaheed. As Al-Bukhari rahimahullah explained or headed one of a chapter in his Sahih, and as was explained in Al-Hafiz in Fath al-Bari. So we cannot say, even if we see a person fighting in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, we cannot say that he is definitely a shaheed. All we can say is that, if he dies, I mean. All we can say is that we hope for him that he died as a shaheed. Because we do not know how sincere he was in his fighting or in his Islam. And there is actually a hadith that would be relevant to mention here. Recorded, this is in Bukhari and Muslim and other books of hadith, by Sahal, reported by Sahal bin Sa'ad al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu. And Sahal is a young Sahabi that was born like 5 years before Hijrah or something like that. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, he was in his teens. He was like 15 or 16 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. So Sahal bin Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought against the mushrikeen in one of his battles, and one particular man in the Muslim army was fighting hard, attacking and killing everyone that he reached of the enemies. In the evening, both armies stopped fighting to rest, and the Sahaba commented, "O Allah's Messenger, none of us has accomplished as much as such and such did today." So they were praising him, how well he fought, better than anyone else. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, responded, أَمَا إِنَّهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. He said, he is one of the people of the fire. Verily, he is one of the people of the fire. On hearing this, the Sahaba became very disturbed. And they said, which one among us will go to Jannah if this man went to the fire? Because they saw him fighting so well, attacking the enemy without any fear in his heart. But one man among them decided to follow him closely on the following day. He did and observed that he got wounded and killed himself too soon by putting the point of his sword between his breasts and dragging himself until he was on top of it, causing it to come out from between his shoulders. The Sahabi went back to the Prophet ﷺ and told him of what he saw. The Sahaba were amazed to hear that, and the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ الزَّمَنَ الطَّوِيلَ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فِي مَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَعْمَلُ الزَّمَنَ الطَّوِيلَ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فِي مَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Which means, verily, a person would do things that appear to the people as being of the deeds of the people of Jannah, but for a long time, the hadith says, in Arabic, the Arabic text, would do for a long time things that appear to the people as being of the deeds of the people of Jannah, but he is from the people of the fire. And a person would do things that appear to the people as being of the deeds of the people of the fire, but he is from the people of Jannah. Verily, the deeds are only by their conclusions. And another similar hadith was reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said that during the battle of Khaybar, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about a man who claimed to be a Muslim, he said, هذا من أهل النار. And you see that narration, it's not clear. There's a discussion among the scholars whether these two incidents are the same or different. Many scholars believe that they are two different things that happened in two different battles. One of them in Khaybar, and the other possibly in Uhud or some other battle. But whichever is the case, it says in the report of Abu Hurairah that he claimed to be a Muslim, which means it was not clear that he was a Muslim. And in some report by Al-Waqidi, which is weak, but it could be used to bring the understanding of this hadith closer, it says that man, the women were what? عَيَّرْنَهُمْ, which means they were telling him, you did not go for fighting, you did not go for fighting, you are a woman, you are coward, something like that. And he did not want to go and fight. But when the woman started saying that, he said, okay, I'll go and fight and show you in the battle of Uhud. And he went and fought better than anyone else. So it was not for Allah Azza wa Jal, but just, even though he did not want to join the army, but just to show himself. And in that report, it says that when he was dying, when he killed himself, he said, actually, I did not do it for the sake of Allah. I do it just to prove my courage or my power or something like that. Whichever is the case, we know from the words of the Prophet ﷺ, whatever Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to him, that it is not an injustice from Allah Azza wa Jal. But Allah knows that there are people who appear to be fighting for his sake, but they are not. So this is an example. So the Prophet ﷺ said, هذا من أهل النار. This is one of the this person is from the people of the fire. During the fighting, that man fought the best fighting until some of the Muslims were almost doubtful, which means about the Prophet's declaration. They started almost, the report says, that how come he says he's of the people of the fire when we see how well he's fighting? He subsequently became badly wounded, pulled an arrow from his quiver, and stabbed his throat with it. Nahara nafsan, yeah. Some men ran to Allah's Messenger saying, oh Allah's Messenger, Allah has confirmed your promise. لَقَدْ صَدَّقَكَ اللَّهُ. That man has committed suicide and killed himself. Upon hearing this, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُمْ يَا بِلَالْ فَأَذِّنْ أَنَّهُ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُؤَيِّدُ الدِّينَ بِالرَّجُلِ الْكَافِرِ الْفَاجِرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُؤَيِّدُ الدِّينَ بِالرَّجُلِ الْفَاجِرِ. Which means, get up, O Bilal, and announce to the people that no one will enter Jannah but a believer. So it's not how much effort one puts, but how much belief he has in his heart. And that Allah reinforces the religion even with a wicked man. Even with a wicked man. So with this, we go back to what we were saying, that in regard to the martyrs, we said that we cannot say about anybody who dies fighting for the cause of Allah that he is a shaheed. But apparently he fought in the for the cause of Allah. So we apply to him the rulings, the rules of Shaheed. Okay? So, which is whatever the Prophet ﷺ did in regard to the people like them. So what is it? The martyrs on the battlefield should not be washed, even if they were junub. Jabir radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet ﷺ did not wash the martyrs on the day of Uhud and said, أَنَا شَهِيدٌ عَلَى هَؤُلَاء ادفنوهم أو لفوهم. In another report, في دمائهم فإنه ليس جريح يجرح في الله إلا جاء وجرحه يوم القيامة يدمى لونه لون الدم وريحه ريح المسك. Which means, I am their witness, wrap or bury them in their blood. No person is wounded for Allah's cause but will come on the day of resurrection with his wound fresh, having the color of blood and the smell of musk. In another report, Jabir radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet ﷺ did not pray janazah for them and said, do not wash them because every wound will be smelling of musk on the day of resurrection. Abu Barzah reported that the Prophet ﷺ was in a battle and Allah gave him victory. And Allah gave him victory. He said to his companions after the battle was over, that is, هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ? Do you miss anyone? They replied, which means, did anybody get killed? Do you know who got killed? They said such and such and such. They started checking who was missing among them. And they named them. So they said such and such, such and such, and such and such. He asked again, هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ? Do you miss anyone else? They replied, no. He said, لَكِنِّي أَفْقِدُ جُلَيْبِيبَ فَطْلُبُوهُ. لَكِنِّي أَفْقِدُ جُلَيْبِيبَ فَطْلُبُوهُ. And جُلَيْبِيب, I don't remember his story. I don't know if anybody here remembers it. But he was a poor and ugly looking, by the standards, yani their standards, person among the Sahaba. To the extent that many people did not want to marry him, their daughters. And then the Prophet ﷺ asked a family to give their daughter to him in marriage. And they were reluctant to do so. And as soon as he married her, he went and fought in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal and got killed. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, لَكِنِّي أَفْقِدُ جُلَيْبِيبًا فَطْلُبُوهُ. Which means, but I miss Julaybib, so look for him. They looked for him among the dead and found him beside seven that he had killed of the enemy before they killed him. The Prophet ﷺ stood over him and said, قتل سبعة ثم قتلوه هذا مني وأنا منه هذا مني وأنا منه. Which means he killed seven before they killed him. He is from me and I am from him. He is from me and I am from him. He repeated that twice or three times. Then he extended his arms, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and held him, so that his bed was none less than the arms of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A grave was dug for him, and he was buried. And he, Abu Barzah, did not mention washing him. The reporter did not mention that he was washed before he was buried. In regard to the Battle of Uhud and the martyrdom of Hanzala bin Abi Amir, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن صاحبكم تغسله الملائكة فاسألوا صاحبته. Hanzala, same thing. Hanzala went to the battle. When he heard the call for the battle, he did not take the time even to take a bath, because he was junub. He needed to take a bath, but he did not. He ran to answer the call for the fighting, and he was killed in that battle. He was martyred in the battle. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your friend is being washed by the angels. So ask his wife about the reason. They asked her, and she told them that he went to the battle while he was junub. As soon as he heard the call, he reported that Hamza bin Abi bin Abdul Muttalib and Hanzala bin Al-Rahib were the same. Hanzala bin Abi Amir, Hanzala bin Al-Rahib, one other kunya for him. Both of them were killed while they were junub. So Allah's Messenger said, I saw the angels washing them. So both of these Sahaba were washed by the angels. So this tells that it is not required to wash a person who dies for the cause of Allah. Now here, a warning or a caution is that there are some ahadith that we discussed before, and inshallah we'll go over this again in the future, because some people requested that we record that discussion about the signs of a good end. And we mentioned many of the signs of a good end for a person, that among which are signs are situations where if the person dies in those conditions, he gets the reward of a shaheed, of a martyr. But that does not mean that we can apply to him the hukum of a shaheed in regard to washing and shrouding and things like that, okay, and burying. Okay, this applies only to the one who dies on the battlefield, okay, regardless of what's in his heart, because we do not know what's in their hearts. So if somebody dies on the battlefield, this applies to him. Okay, now after this overview or background of ahadith, we go to what we promised earlier of the practical steps. And here first I have three or four notes. The following rules apply to the individuals who wash the body. First, the person in charge of bathing the dead should be a person who is very knowledgeable in the way that the body should be washed according to the sunnah. And of course the preference is for people, those who are relatives, close relatives of the dead, but it is, regardless of who it is, it should be a person who knows about the sunnah in this regard. And second, what we said earlier, that he should hide anything, or she, if she is a woman washing a woman, they should hide whatever they observe about the dead, and should not talk about to others about what they see. Next, he should seek the reward and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, as we said earlier, and not seek any worldly pleasure or reward or compensation for what he does. Second, It is recommended, as we said earlier also, that to take a ghusl, a bath, for the one who washes that person. Okay. Now here I have a summary of the practical things to do for bathing the body of the dead Muslim. First, who performs the bathing or the washing of the body? And I have divided this into male and female. If it is a male who dies, then who washes him? And if it is a female, who washes her? If the dead is a male, then Muslim men should wash him. If a female dies, then Muslim woman, of course, would wash her. In addition, if a male dies, then his wife, or if he has more than wife, his wives could wash him. And on the other hand, if a female dies, her husband may wash her. Now this is contrary to some people's common belief or understanding that once a person dies, then immediately his relationship or her relationship, marital relationship, is terminated. Okay, so they say they become like strangers. So if a woman dies, then she is not anymore the wife of her husband before death, and therefore, which is in a sense true, but they conclude from that therefore he becomes like a stranger to her. He may not touch her, he may not look at her. This is not true, and the proof for that is what? The statement that we heard from Aisha radiallahu anha, and also the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, what if you die and I wash you and shroud you and all that, okay, and bury you. So that shows that the man can wash and shroud and bury his wife, and vice versa. If they do not, then as we said, men wash men and women wash women. Who is exempt from being washed? The one who dies on the battlefield, even if he was in a state of janaba prior to death. What parts of the body to wash? The entire body should be washed. Are the clothes supposed to be removed? All clothing must be removed, as we heard from the hadith that we read, that was their practice, the practice of the Sahaba, and that's why they were not sure what to do with the Prophet ﷺ, whether to remove his clothes or not. So all clothing must be removed, but the body should remain covered with a sheet. So you cover the body with a sheet, and then from under the sheet you take off the clothes, trying not to expose the aura, trying hard not to expose it. What is the number of wash? How many times we wash the body for both male and female? The entire body should be washed an odd number of times, 3 or more as needed. Odd number, but not one. Should be 3 and odd. 3, 5, 7, and so on. So if 3 makes the body appear to be clean, then that's enough. If it seems like it needs more washing, then you do 2 more. If it seems to need more washing, you do 2 more, and so on. Cleansing material. On one or more of the washes, the time that you wash it, lotus or soap should be added to the water, as you heard from the hadith. Scrubbing the body. How to scrub the body? With the body under the cover, it should be scrubbed with a piece of cloth or something like it. A sponge, maybe, a piece of cloth. Of course, this assuming that the body has not decayed, like if somebody finds a body which was burned, for example, or which has a person who died a few days ago and they could not get to him to wash him before then. Then you cannot scrub. If you scrub the skin will start coming off with the scrubbing. So in that case, you know, something less hard should be done. But as you heard about the way the Prophet ﷺ washed, he was washed and scrubbed with his, or rubbed with his clothes from over the clothes. What part of the body to wash first? The right side. We start with the right side of the body. And the limbs that one washes in wudu should be washed first. How about the hair? All braided hair should be undone and washed well. So no braids should be left. How is the hair arranged after that? It should be combed, as the Prophet ﷺ told them to do with his daughter. And for the man, in addition to comb, for the woman, in addition to combing, it should be divided into three plates. Plates, not plates with A-T-E-S, but A-I-T-S, which means bunches, three bunches, and arranged behind her. Perfume or embalmment. On the final wash, a scented perfume, preferably camphor, should be added to the water. Is camphor available in this country now?
Yeah.
It's available. It's easy to get it. Okay. Because they use it in the washing. Okay. Now, there's an exception for this, which is if a person dies in a state of ihram. If a person dies while he is mahram, and as you know, the one in ihram is not allowed to put perfume while he's in ihram. So, a man died when he was in ihram, when he was in Hajj, when he was on Arafah actually. And his animal threw him off and he died. So, when he was brought before the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I want to find it quickly. He said, wrap him with his own, with his two garments that he died in, which are the garments of ihram, and do not لا تطيبوا, which means do not perfume him. Okay, so he prohibited them. فإنه يبعث يوم القيامة ملبيا, because he will be resurrected on the day of judgment, giving talbiyah, saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik. So it's a great tiding for him. And as we know from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that whoever dies doing something, he'll be resurrected doing the same thing. So if one dies in prayer, when he is resurrected praying. If a person dies committing sins, walayyadhu billah, he is resurrected on the day of judgment committing those sins. So he said, do not give him tib, or do not put tib for him, do not perfume him. Okay, now let's see some practical, more practical now, example. There's this book here which actually gives practical measures, exact measures on how you wash the body. And even though not everything is necessarily from the Sunnah, which means it doesn't mean that's against the Sunnah, it means some of the things are from practical experience that you need these things. So I'll mention them for the benefit. First of all, who is the one who washes the dead person? In addition to what we said earlier, the dead person may write in his wasiyah or say in his wasiyah, I want such and such to wash me. So this should be honored. If his wasiyah does not include anything that violates the shara, then it should be honored. So if he says, I want my cousin and my brother and third person, such and such friend to wash me, then they should those are the people that should first be sought to worship. If they are not accessible, then of course somebody else should be would be brought. If, of course, his wasiyah, his request violates the shara, then it should not be honored. Like if he says, for example, my girlfriend, I want my girlfriend to wash me, then of course this will not be honored. If he did not have anything in his wasiyah, then as we said, the close relatives, the brothers, the father, the son, and so on, are the best people, if they have a knowledge of the shara, to wash him. If they cannot, or they do not know how to do it, then people of knowledge in the community should help with it. Another practical thing is that the place where he's washed should be covered. Covered from the sides, covered from the roof. Why they say this requirement? Because there is a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ prohibits a person from sleeping on top of a roof, exposing himself like naked or something like that. And it is prohibited. It is highly prohibited, actually, to be exposed in the open like that, like the animals. And from our respect to the dead person, we would treat him like we treat the living and apply the same sunnah to them. Now here is something that this author, who is a well-known scholar of our time, Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman bin Jibreen, this is the father, a well-known scholar of our time, he says that it would be recommended, if you know somebody who maybe may benefit, even if he is a sinner, but he can witness the washing, then let him be there to take a lesson from seeing the dead body. Maybe that will remind him and stop him from committing sins. But he, of course, the reliance should not be on him. There should be others who can perform the washing. Normal number for the washing. You shouldn't have a crowd or a show in the washing. And you need two or three people, because it's not easy to deal with the body with one person. You need to turn him, you know, it's a dead body. It's not living anymore. So it's rigid. When you wash, you need to turn him one side, wash from the back, wash from the front, this way, that way. And it's not easy for one person to do it. So you need the help of some more people to perform the washing. And then some other things that he recommends. He puts in a picture here, which is interesting. Now, Abdullah, who? Not here. Okay, he says some of the things that you would need when you wash a dead body. I'm sure in the funeral homes in this country they provide such things. But, and he probably also in the washing places in the Muslim countries, they now provide such things, which is gloves, a mask. Something for the feet, like boots or something, and then something to cover the clothes, an overall thing to cover the clothes. So these are things that are not required, of course, in the sunnah, but it is better, it's recommended to keep the body clean from any kind of contamination. So it is good to wear the mask and those other things that would protect the person from the dirt or from contamination from the with the dead body. Now here he says how to prepare the water that you use to wash the body. Okay, now He says, for every 4 liters, 4 liters is a gallon, right? More than a gallon? A little more. Okay. So he says, for every gallon of water, approximately, you use a large coffee cup of the, you know, Turkish coffee or the Arabian coffee, not the big coffee, American coffee, the small coffee cups, a coffee cup of cedar, that we call it lotus. Now he says, funjan qahwa kabir, and I'm assuming that they don't mean the American coffee cup because they don't use it there. But there are larger cups and smaller cups. So he refers to the larger cup. And similarly, so if you double the quantity, the water, 4 ounces? About 4 ounces, yeah, you're right. Because the big one is like 12 ounces almost. So this is about 1/3. And as for the camphor or kafur, it seems they sell it in blocks over there, small blocks. Same here? Okay. See, you can tell that I am not into it too much. Kafur, the thing that you use in the last wash to... Camphor. Camphor. So he says for every 4 liters... of water, you put two blocks of camphor for every gallon. 2 blocks of camphor. About how much would that block be? This, like this, yeah. Tip of the finger?
Yeah.
So it's like the size of the sugar blocks?
Yeah. Even Tylenol blocks.
About the Tylenol size?
Maybe a little bigger than that.
Okay. Okay. So we put 2 of them in a gallon of water. And then he says, before washing, starting to wash, once you have the mixtures ready, the water and with kafur and the water with sidr, you make sure that the awra of the dead person is covered. For the male, that you have him covered from the knee to the navel, or from the navel to the knee, with something big like a towel or a sheet or something like that. And for the woman, the woman should cover most of her body. You know, maybe from her neck all the way down to her knees or something like that. Doesn't matter. Whatever is comfortable for the washing people and safe for the body. Like if it is in a decayed state, you cannot put hot water, so can be cold or cool or something like that. So there is no specific requirement in that regard. So it's dependent on what you feel like or you are comfortable with. Now he says here, this is important for real situations, that if the dead body is too rigid and was not made, you know, soft a little bit after death, because it has died for a while, or it was brought from a freezer, okay, then you cannot take off his clothes to wash him. So in that case, he says, you can use a scissors to cut off his clothes before you start washing him. And he gives a certain sequence. It's not necessarily required which side you start first. But it is so that, you know, to make it in such a way that it causes the minimum exposure of awra. like you start from the top, he says, after you cut the top part, then you pull the lower part down from his feet or something like that. While at the same time you still have the towel covering him. Now he says here, and again, as I said, this is not from the sunnah or the hadith that we heard, but from practical experience. He says that if the dead person has an accumulation of dirt on his body, and it is not possible to remove that with sidr, then we can add to the mixture 2 spoons of soap, this powder soap, and 2 spoons of shampoo, and 2 spoons of mutahhir, he says here, which I'm assuming it's some of the detergents or something like that. Huh? Dettol? Okay. So you mix that in like 3 big cups of water, and scrub the body so that the dirt comes off, and then you continue with the other procedure that we explained earlier. The washer, the one who's washing the body, starts from his head and face. Then he turns him on his left side so that he would be able to clean his right side carefully. I had a volunteer to try this on him, but he left. So you just need to use your imagination. That, you know, because as we said earlier, you start with the right side. The sunnah is to start with the right side, as the Prophet ﷺ commanded the women who were washing his daughter. So, which means you have to move the body so that it is on its left side, on the left side, so that you can wash the right side. Starting from the head and the face, as we said. So, يبدأ المغسل, the washer starts, the washing person starts from the head and face, then turns him on the left side, rubs the right side carefully, then, as we said, starting with the places of wudu. So you start with the hands, the feet, and then you do the rest of the body, right side of the body. Then you turn to the other side, and you do the other side in a similar way. At the same time, or continuously, you need to make sure that the body is still covered. The aura is not showing. Okay? So all this washing is done from under the towel. And you rub, you know, with your hands, clean the body from under the towel. And then, when you bring the water, you start similarly. That is when you use the cleaning things, and then when you bring the water with the sidr, then you do it in a similar way, starting in the same sequence as before. And he says you can increase the quantity of water, the mixture that we said, instead of 1 gallon, you may need 2 gallons, 3 gallons, whatever. In some places, I think, what, did anybody go to a funeral home here? Do they use hoses, or how do you mix the water? And you don't. So you just use pure water. So first you have to rub with whatever other cleaning materials you want. Just water? You just clean with water? What if you want to use some other materials? And you can. What? How do you put the camphor at the end? The camphor. You bring it mixed. Ready mixed? Sometimes you put regular perfume with you. Okay. Okay. Here is another diagram which shows the thing that you need. This is the body, And as you see, assuming that this is a man, you see the body here. For some reason they cut off the head, but normally the head is there. And there's something in the middle of the body which is like the towel or something to cover the awra while doing the washing, going from the knee, from the navel to the knee. So I don't think you can all see it, but it's this is what the picture is like. And then what things you need? You need something. What they do here, over there, seems, they use a bucket of water and pure water, and a bucket of water with cedar, and a bucket of water with camphor, and then a container to take out the water from these buckets. And then you wash him, as we said, first with the cedar and then with the camphor, and usually, in some cases, not usually, sometimes you will need, as we said, soap and other cleansing materials before the, in addition to the cedar. A rubbing leafa, he says here, which means one of these scrubbing, hard scrubbing things you can use sometimes, or a sponge or something like that. Okay, and okay. Now the next step, and this, now he's saying about washing, about giving wudu to the dead person. And I don't know if this is from what we read, there's nothing in the Sunnah calling for that. Washing is, even though as we heard in the Sunnah, you start the ghusl by the parts of the body, by washing the parts of the body which are the parts of wudu. But it doesn't say anywhere that you give her wudu or give him wudu during that process. Okay, here he gives a certain note regarding camphor. He says, you know, you wash in the same way as you washed with the in the other cases. And then he says, it should be noted that camphor is a kind of perfume which makes the body rigid and cools it, and it is poisonous for insects. So insects in that case would not, like this insect, will not approach the dead body when you rub it with that. So it is a preservative. It helps preserve the body, and it is therefore a kind of embalmment that will help preserve the body longer until it is buried. Then after washing, this is something also practical, as I said, you bring another towel, in addition to the towel that you are covering the body with, to dry the body, starting with his face and his chest and the rest of his body, so and so on. And then you can remove the wet towel and put the towel that you dried the body with in its place, covering the awra. As I was saying that, there is nothing in the Sunnah regarding cutting the hair, cutting the nails, etc. Unless, as we said, they are excessively long and you want the appearance to be closer to the Sunnah. But in general, there is nothing in the Sunnah in that regard. And the other thing is regarding putting cotton in parts of the body, like nostrils, ears, eyes, whatever, mouth, rectum, or vagina for the woman, or anything like that. There is no basis for that in the Sunnah. Unless, and this is only an exceptional case, so to make it the habit or the practice doesn't have a support in the Sunnah. Or to move the body, like some people move the legs up and down to make sure that whatever is left in the body of remains, excretions, whatever come out while they are washing it, there's no need for any of that. This doesn't have any hold any support in the Sunnah. Or some people go to the extreme of the Jews, where the Jews, you know, as we hear, that they, you know, use certain artificial means to extract any dirt from the body before in the process of preparing it for burial. So this is excessiveness, and it is not required. All what's required is what we said. But if you find, if it appears like the body is seeping something from one of the parts, from the ear, from the nose, from the face, from wherever, something keeps seeping no matter how much washing you do, then you can put some cotton to stop that seeping. Otherwise, it should not be the practice. Okay, now here he has some also final reminders that for those who have, who died, who have been burnt, or some parts of their body are burnt, then these parts should be covered with cotton and what do you say, shash in English? Gauze. And something like a plastic or something to prevent the water from coming over it. Because if you know, if the water and the other materials start coming, then the skin will start peeling. So you protect from that. And then after you finish that, you remove that protecting substance or cover. If the injury is very excessive, like it's covering the whole body or something like that, then there is no need for ghusl in that case, and you just, he says here, you make tayammum for the janazah. So as if you like the tayammum that a person who cannot find water does. And it's put in certain, it is wrapped in certain materials before before putting it in the shroud. And he said that people who are under 7 of age, whether men or women, boys or girls, that is, if little kids, children die, then the restrictions that we said earlier about that a man should be washed by men and a woman by women, they are not there anymore in that case, because they do not have an aura yet. They are not at the age of taklif, so the man can wash the little children and the woman can wash them similarly, whatever is their sex. The as-saqt, which means the saqt, the miscarriage child, which falls out or is dropped before 4 months, is not washed, nor shrouded, nor the janazah prayer is given for him. So you just dig a hole and put him in it. As for the age over 4 years, then it is optional, as we'll be discussing in some other meeting, inshallah. It is optional. You have the option up to the age of delivery. You have the option of doing that or not doing it. And that's it, I guess. That's it, inshallah. We stop here. And next week, inshallah, we talk about shrouding next week, inshallah, because it has a, takes time to do it. So inshallah, we'll discuss it next week. Yes. Inshallah. Whether what? To wash him or not? We said earlier, first of all, this hadith is da'if. And second, we said that for for people who die, like the one who dies from burning or from drowning or other situations which are, who get the reward of shaheed, you do not treat them as shaheed in this case. This applies only to the one who dies on the battlefield. Okay? No.
How to wash the body on which autopsy is done?
Autopsy is done. Same thing as we said in the case of the burned person. So if you can wash some parts, like you can, the rule is always in the Shara, مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ جُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ, which means if something you cannot do it all, you do not leave it all. You do as much of it as you can. لَيْكَ اللَّهُ نَفْسَ لَوْسَى. And so if you can wash the lower side of the part of the body, but not the upper part, then you make tayammum for the upper part. Or vice versa. Or one side and not the other. And so on. Just like burning. Okay?
The part from where I come from, maybe they boil the water. They use some kind of berry leaves in the water.
Maybe they find that it is equivalent to the sidr, which in cleaning the body. The intention is to clean the body, but if it is boiled water, as I said, if the body, if the person has died more than a few hours ago, that would cause the skin to come off. So one has to be careful using boiling water. So it's better to use a moderate temperature. And then they cool it down. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. So the intention, if we know what is the purpose of these materials, then we know that if there is a replacement, we can use it. The intention of the sidr is to clean the body. The intention of using the camphor is to preserve the body and give it a nice smell. Huh? No, it's not ta'abudi by itself. It's not an act of worship to use this specific material rather than another one. But this is what they used. At the time, what the Prophet ﷺ used, because they knew that it has this effect. So if we do not have this material, or if we know other materials that can benefit in a similar way, then inshallah we can use them. Yeah, as he told you, brother, that they have done this in some cases. Yeah. Yeah, there is no support for that in the Sunnah. Actually, this is with a section of innovations that I did not get to, or bid'ah that people do during washing the dead body. Maybe inshallah, if we get to them to next time, we can mention the innovations in both cases. Inshallah, we talk about shrouding next Friday. Next Friday, inshallah. Okay. Yeah. We have to verify this if it is 2 days. That is what one of the reports. Other reports say that he was buried the following day. So once we verify if it is true that he stayed 2 days, we know that his body did not change or doesn't change. We know that Allah Azza wa Jalla prohibited the earth from eating from the bodies of the prophets. So it doesn't smell, it doesn't go bad or anything. And there were very important reasons for delaying his burial, because the Sahaba immediately got busy with preserving the Muslim Ummah. It was about to fall apart if they did not do something immediate in terms of the Khilafah and other things. And while some of the Sahaba, specifically Ali radiallahu anhu, with the two who helped him, got busy with preparing the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then as you heard the Sahaba, no, we didn't say this, but we talk about this when we talk about the janazah prayer. The people went in and prayed on him, one group after another, in his house. all the Muslims want, but not altogether. Huh? Yeah, and that too. So it was like a first time thing for them. And Allah preserved his body, so there is no need. And he was going to be buried in the same place where he was, so it was not like taking him to a different graveyard or something like that. But as I said, we need to verify how long it took to bury him. What is the authentic report? And this, I did not have time to check. Inshallah, when we get to the burial, which will be maybe in 2 weeks, we'll discuss this. Allahu a'lam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.